Anybody else not get one of the Matthew outlines? All right, Derek, you can hand those out for me. Thank you. Thank you. Keep your hand up, Brother Gary, will get you one. And those are the Matthew outlines. And, of course, I wish we could preach everything that is there, but we cannot. But we will preach a few things and hopefully be moving on here by next week or the week after. Matthew chapter 9, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 9. How many did their homework? Only two did the homework. Shameful, shameful. Amen. All right. All right, Matthew chapter number 9. Once you found your place there, go ahead and stand. And we're going to read a couple areas there. Matthew chapter number 9. We're talking about the subject of predetermined faith. Predetermined faith. Predetermined faith. Go ahead and stand there. We're in Matthew chapter number 9. And we're going to read verse 21, verse 28, and verse 29. All right. 21, 28, and 29. Oh, and I skipped 18 and 18 too. Sorry about that. All right, everybody there? All right, here we go. Let's read Matthew chapter 9, verse number 18 first. This is the certain ruler of the synagogue. We know from last week his name is what? Jairus. Amen. All right, verse 18. Let's read that one. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Amen. That's a predetermined faith there. Come down to verse number 21. This woman with the issue of blood comes in here, touches his garment, thinking to herself, If I touch him, I can be whole. Read verse 21. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Amen. That is predetermined faith. Then come over to verse number 28. 28, let's read that one. Here we go. And when he was come into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Predetermined faith in three different facets. One from the ruler of a synagogue, Jairus, raising his daughter back up. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years. And then these two blind men here wanting to receive their sight all believe that it could be done. What are we talking about here? Before it can be done, you and I need to have faith that it can be done. Amen. And what does the Bible say? Faith is the substance of things hope for, the evidence of things not seen. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Let's say faithfully seek him. Amen. Diligently seek him. And so that's what's going on here in Jesus Christ and his ability. Father, I'm blessed now as we look more at this area, Lord, of ordinary people just like us, Lord. One's a ruler of a synagogue. One's got a physical problem. The others have a blindness as their problem. Lord, help us with ordinary problems as ordinary people, Lord. Come to you with our faith and an extraordinary ability that you have to heal. Lord, believing that you can and you will do according to your will. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Help us to glean a blessing tonight from your word, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, so we're talking about faith in the book of Matthew. So far, we have looked at cooperative faith in the book of Matthew. And what does it take for cooperative faith? Cooperation, communication, consideration, and coordination. Then we saw little faith in the book of Matthew. Amen. We saw two things lead to little faith, worry and fear. Amen. And then we saw great faith, and we saw that last time before, and now we're in predetermined faith. Amen. So looking at these areas, we want to try to check where our faith is as well and work out our faith. Amen. By the way, the Bible still says work out our salvation, and that comes along with the territory. Amen. Appreciate the message Pastor White gave on Sunday night. Amen. By the way, when you serve God, that increases your faith. Amen. Remember, the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And what did he say, basically, in a nutshell? get busy. Serve God. Amen. And when you serve God, it builds your faith. Amen. Because you see God working. Amen. And so predetermined faith here. We gave the definition of predetermined. It means to decide something before it happens or in advance. Amen. There's no way that Dr. Bruner could give tests to his students and have predetermined grades. Why? Well, unless he's got favorites. Amen. He could do that. But he's a man of integrity. He wouldn't do that. Amen. Even they do give him an apple. He can't do that. Amen. But when it comes to God, we can have predetermined faith that he will do what he said he will do. Amen. Now, what can Steve Bruner's students have faith that he's going to do? Teach? Yes. What he said, if you do this, I'll give you this grade. Amen. If you don't do this, I won't give you that grade. Yes, sir. Study? Amen. They expect certain things from him, but then again, he, as the professor, expects certain things from them. A lot of things. Amen. And if they do the things that he tells them, Dr. Bruner, would you ever grade them on something you have not tested them on? Given them. That wouldn't be fair to them. Amen. And so it is with God. God's never going to put us in a situation where he's going to expect more than what he's already given to us. Amen. We've got to believe what he says, and then God, in turn, blesses according to what he wants to do in your life. We just have to get on board with God's program and God's plan. Amen. And so predetermined faith is to be confident or sure. It's to be bold, secure, or to hope or make your trust in. To trust, we must have something to trust or be confident in. That's why the Bible says, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. And so I've got to hear about the Word of God before I can get saved. Amen. By the way, all the Dutch colleagues of Franz that came over here had already heard the word from Franz. But then they came in my office and they sat down. They said, tell us what you told Franz. I thought, well, hey, man, you want to hear it again? Hallelujah. I mean, I gave him the gospel all over again. And I believe Tom, when he sat in my office, I believe he genuinely got saved. And so he's wanting, now, think about this. If Franz is always talking about the Lord Jesus Christ consistently, and you won't have anything to do with God, would you call back to America to get some guy to make a video to send it back to the troops? No, that's the last thing you want to do, because you're already feeling bad about not receiving Christ. I believe he secretly, like Nicodemus possibly, got saved. He's undercover, but he knows the gospel needs to go out, and he knows Franz is always talking about Jesus. He himself can't talk about Jesus, because then everybody said, you're one of those Jesus guys, aren't you? But he can call back me, and I can put a video out there and say, get right with God. And guess what? He can sit back and say, yeah. Tom, you're a good man putting all this together for Franz. So I believe he really did get saved. I can't prove that, amen. But think about it. He's coming to me, a preacher, and he's asking me to do a 5-minute video. What do you expect a preacher to say? Well, you know, skip to Malou. I know. I'm not going to say that. Amen. I'm giving the gospel. Amen. Why? That's my opportunity to get the gospel in. So predetermined faith, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. All the individuals that we have looked at had predetermined faith. The ruler of the synagogue had heard of Jesus. He was a certain ruler. His daughter was under certain death. He knew that if he came to Jesus, there would be certain life. Jesus gave him a certain answer, and then Jesus followed him, and we picked that up in verse number 19. Notice down there, and Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. But then we saw that with this certain ruler, there came this interruption. And with these interruptions, we began to ask you, how do you feel when others seem to get their prayers answered and you don't? Doesn't it make you feel bad? Just think about that. We go around the room here, and everybody stands up and say, God answered my prayer. He did this, and God, he did this. And you sitting there, and you're like, well, I prayed. What does David have that I don't have besides height? What does Steven Bruner have that I don't have besides a beard? What does G2 have that I don't have besides a jump shot? What's wrong with my prayers? He's interrupted here. How would you feel when you get interrupted? I don't know about you, but I kind of get a little perky. Lord, it's been 2 days now since you answered my prayer. And I hear that Gary got his prayers answered. I hear Paula got her prayers answered. I hear Jerry got her prayers answered. And Lord, is there something wrong with me? I have checked my iniquity list. I didn't see anything there. I pray, created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. I've checked all the boxes, Lord. I don't see anything wrong. Why aren't you answering? Seem like you're interrupting my prayer requests as they're going up, and you're intercepting Stephen Bruner's and intercepting David's and intercepting G2's, that I'll answer those first and not answering mine. Don't we feel that way sometimes? Yes, we do. Stop lying. You know you feel that way. Everybody else is getting their prayers answered, but you are not. And I gave you the illustration. Everybody was getting pregnant in Belgium except us, and we left with no kids. The Dutch used to call us a dinky family. Dinky stood for double income with no kids. And we didn't like that title. We wanted some kids. We wanted to be a sinky, some kids, amen. And so we spent all that time, and when we left Belgium, we still didn't have kids. Amen. Now we do, amen. Quiver's full, amen. All right, So this ruler, he waited despite the interruptions, and the woman with a predetermined faith comes on the scene here, and we talked about how last week she approached quietly. The woman with predetermined faith, the certain ruler with predetermined faith, he gets interrupted. She comes with predetermined faith, and we said she approached quietly, and I gave you several reasons why, and they're listed in the Old Testament, and possibly because of her problem. What was her problem? Issue of blood. She was hemorrhaging some way, shape, fashion, or form, okay? And I mentioned to you this. She, possibly because of her problem, she approached quietly. She didn't want to be found out. And if you look at the Bible, because of what the Bible says her place would be, that answers why she was quiet. The first area I told you was Leviticus 12, verses 1 through 7. Let's look over there real quick. Leviticus 12, 1 through 7. And who found out what's the problem here? What would happen if she was found out in Leviticus chapter 12? Anybody know? She'd be cast out, amen? So in other words, she would be separated. She would be put out of the congregation or the fellowship until this time passed. Leviticus chapter 12, and who's there already? All right, Terrell, start reading in verse number 1. Okay, so this is dealing with in relation to childbirth and talking about the period following after that. And oftentimes there was a period of bloodshed that was there as well and bleeding that was there. And because this woman has this issue for 12 years, according to verse number 2, she would be what the Bible would call unclean. And if this is a continuous problem, how long would she be unclean for? 12 years. That means she would have to be put out of the congregation for 12 years, amen? And notice verse number 2 again. Speaking of the children of Israel, saying, if a woman shall have conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days according to days of separation. So she would have to be separated. For her infirmity, shall she be unclean? And they go down about if she has a man-child or if she has a maid-child, the differences there. But then verse 7, she comes with her offering there. And once she comes with her offering, it says she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. But if her blood is still flowing, guess what? She is not cleansed and she is not clean. So this woman that approached Jesus Christ, when she approached quietly, number one, she approached him quietly, probably because of her problem. And because of her problem, it would put her in a certain place, and the place is unclean, which means I'm going to be put out. Let's go to the next area that we talked about. So the first one, she's going to be separated, put out if she was found out. That's why she approached quietly. The next one is chapter 15, verses 19 through 33. Chapter 15 and verse 19. And notice in chapter 15, this is dealing with all sorts of issues from the body that are going to come. And notice what it says here in verse number 19. And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be what? Blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even. Remember, there was a lot of people around there, right? And if she's in the crowd, what are the chances of her touching somebody else? Very easy. And if she's unclean, if they touched her, what would they be? Unclean. So you understand now why she's approaching quietly and trying to touch the hem of his garment. Number one, if she's found out, she'd be unclean. She'd be put out. But here now she's going to infect everybody else. Notice verse number 20. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. That's bad. And whosoever what? Toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean unto the even. And whosoever toucheth anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And if it be on her bed or on anything whereon she sitteth, when he toucheth it, he shall be unclean until the even. And if any man lie with her at all and her flowers be upon her, now let's pause there for a second. Her flowers be upon her. What does flowers mean? Menstruation. Menstruation. Don't you like the way God puts that? You know, it was about the 15th century that man started calling menstruation period. Dealing with a period of time. And a period of time in which the ladies had to go through this every month. And it was called, hence, a period. Doesn't flowers sound a whole lot better? It sounds sweeter. Now, God said flowers. Man says period. Make you look like a punctuation mark or something. Amen. And if someone says your flowers are upon you, doesn't that sound a whole lot better? I mean, it just sounds a whole lot better. Now, where do we get this term period from then? I looked it up today. It goes in with the cycles and the moon and all that stuff. And the Greeks had this time period. And so they put it in and they shortened it and called it period. Period. And guess who made that? I assure you it wasn't ladies. I assure you it wasn't a lady. I assure you it was a man that said, let's call it this. Well, God said flowers. What's wrong with flowers? We can just call it flowers. My flowers are upon me. Amen. My flowers are upon me. That sounds so much sweeter. I mean, even if it is a time when you have to go through, you know, let's call it period. Let's call it agony. Let's call it pain. Let's call it frustration. Let's call it get away from her. Amen. I mean, call it disgust, whatever. Amen. And men make up those terms. God said flowers. I like what God says. Amen. And it means the same thing. Menstruation. It means the exact same thing. If any man lie with her at all and her flowers be upon her, be upon him. Amen. He shall be unclean 7 days. And all the bed whereon he lieth shall be unclean. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days, notice this, out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, does that describe our lady? Yes, it does. All the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be what? Unclean. According to what the Bible says, if it goes out of cycle, if it lasts longer, if it's irregular and it's not this way, that lady was unclean. And so why did she possibly come to Jesus Christ quietly? Because of her problem and her place. She'd be put out. She could be put away as well, according to these verses, because she's unclean. Amen. And it goes down there to talk about what goes on and what should happen. Notice verse number 27. And which one did we just read? 26. Every bed whereon she lieth, all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation. Whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean, as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean unto the even. But if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. On the 8th day, she shall take unto her 2 turtles or 2 young pigeons, and bring them unto the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her before the Lord for the issue of her uncleanness. But Our Lady is not there. She is still unclean. Come down to verse number 32. This is the law of him that hath an issue, of him whose seed goeth from him and is defiled therewith. Verse 33, and of her that is sick of her what? Flowers. God's still calling it flowers. You know, I don't find period one time in the Bible. I see flowers. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Even that sounds better than period. I mean, it just sounds so, I mean, custom of women sounds good, you know. Anything sounds better than what man has phrased and coined and put into practice, amen, that we have grown used to. Do you find the term period as negative or positive? How many negative? Raise your hand. Negative. How many would say that term is positive? What about flowers? When you hear flowers, that sound negative or positive? Positive. What about time of, we say custom of women? Doesn't that even sound better? Now, do we agree that it's going to happen 9 times out of 10 to most ladies throughout lifetime? Yes. But at least we can coin it with a better phrase. I'm just saying, I'm not a lady, but I don't like that term either. It just sounds ugly to me. Is it a monthly? Well, I'm glad they didn't call it the monthly curse. Amen. Let's blame it on E. That's it. It is. But flowers just sound so better to custom of women. Notice this. And her that is sick of her flowers, and of him that hath an issue of the man and the woman, and of him that lieth with her that is unclean. So we see here that she approached Jesus quietly because of her problem and because of the place that she may have to go to. We see how she would be separated. She'd be put out. She's unclean. She could be put away. But then there's one more, Deuteronomy 24 and verse number 1. Yes, ma'am. Obviously, somehow, some way, she must have kept that from everybody else. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Hence, you see her problem. She probably avoided all of that if she had any kind of consciousness about herself. She probably did not go. Exactly. Exactly. We're going to see some other things about her in just a minute as well. Some people did know about it, I am sure. But I am sure she probably avoided most people so that they themselves did not get defiled. Okay, so she could be put out, she could be put away, but then she could be put aside. And here's another one, Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. Notice what it says here. When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some, what's that word? Uncleanness in her. What did it say? If I've got an issue of blood, what am I? Unclean. So now if I marry this girl and she is unclean because of her issue, I have the right to put her aside and marry somebody else. Back in those days, having children was a big deal. Remember Jacob? He had Rachel and he had Leah. Remember, Rachel couldn't have any children. And Leah was very, very fruitful. She went to Jacob. She said, give me kids or I'll die. She said, give me children or else I'll die. Amen. And guess what? She ended up dying with the second. Be careful what you ask for. She said, give me children or else I die. And she had one. That second one killed her. Amen. And so having children back in those days was very, very important. Remember Samuel's mother, Hannah? Hannah couldn't have any children, whilst the other gal, she was having children left and right. And it was shameful not to have children. So coming into this woman quietly approached Jesus because of her problem, because of her place, knowing she could be put out, she could be put away, but she could be put aside. Notice this, uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. He had the right by the law of God to put her aside if he wanted to because she was unclean, if she couldn't bear him any children. Wow. Aren't you glad we don't live under Old Testament laws now? Amen. And amazingly, it doesn't say anything about the guy if he's impotent. Now, what if it's the problem is you and not her? Now you put her away for no reason at all. That wasn't even her. It was you. But amen, that's another story there. Amen. So possibly because of her problem and the place that she would have to go out to, that's why she approached Jesus quietly, stealthily, to get a blessing from the Lord Jesus Christ. She could be put out. She could be separated. She could be put away, unclean, and she could be put aside for a divorce if that were the case. Amen. So that, going back to Matthew chapter number 9, is the reason why she probably approached him. Remember last week, we looked at some of the other accounts. When she touched Jesus, what did she have to end up doing? She had to come forward. What did she have to do? She told everybody what problem she had. Ladies, can you imagine being a group of people and telling everybody, well, I was on my time of life, that's why I came to you, or my menstrual flower, that's why I came. And everybody's looking at you like, 12 years, we really wanted to know that. And by the way, you touched me. You know, you see the reaction of everybody. And so she came out and told Jesus everything in public. And the disciples said, the people throng you. You ask who's touching you. He said, a bunch of people here. And can't you just see everybody clearing out when she said that? You were what? Did she touch me? I'm unclean. Ooh, you unclean. You can't go to temple Sunday, amen. Saturday for them, amen. Hey, she approached quietly, but also she approached quickly. Go back to Matthew chapter 9, verse 21. Knowing what we know about her in 21, for she said within herself, if I'm able to touch his garment, I shall be whole. Why would she approach Jesus quickly? Well, let's look at a couple scriptures here. Go over to Mark. You're in Luke here. Go back to Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. And now, I don't know if she knew that if she touched him, she could be whole. But in Mark chapter 6, notice what we read here in Mark chapter 6. And by the way, does word get around quick oftentimes about Jesus? Yes, it does. Romans, Mark chapter 6, notice verse 55. And when they were, and ran through, let's go back up to 53. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. Who's they? The people that were waiting for him. And ran through that whole region around about and began to carry about in what? Beds, those that were sick, where they heard he was. Notice verse 56. And whithersoever he entered, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might what? Touch, if it were but the border of his garment. So possibly she heard somebody say, hey, man, I touched Jesus with my garment, and man, I'm whole. I touched his garment, and I was whole. I was whole. Huh? Jesus in town today. Quietly, I'll go into the crowd. I'll blend in. Nobody will know I'm there. Nudge up close enough. Reach through to a couple of people. Get down real low because I got to get his garment. By the way, she touched the bottom of his garment, so she can't touch it from here. She's got to come down low. Maybe she had already heard of the accounts and said, hey, I want to be like them. And I can just touch his garment. Hey, when people heard about Lasco, Pastor White, I got every pastor in the country calling me. word got around quick that we got $500,000. And they said, hey, are you the preacher who got that money? I said, how'd you hear? Brother O'Brien called me from Ukraine. I said, brother, how in the world did you find out that I got that money? He said, word gets round. I said, I guess so. It got all the way to the Ukraine. I don't know anybody there but you. He said, hey, how'd you like that money? I said, what money? He said, you know that money you got. I said, how'd you know about that? Amen. So maybe, just maybe, she had found out from somebody else the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made what? Whole. Possibly she had heard that if you can just get to Jesus, what are we talking about? Predetermined faith. She approached quietly. She approached quickly. Go over to Luke chapter 8 and verse 43. What's another reason why she approached quickly? Luke 8, 43. And notice what Luke 8, 43 says about this woman and her account. And again, these are parallel accounts here. Luke 8, 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent what? All her living upon who? Physicians. Don't you feel that way sometimes when you go to a doctor and they can't seem to find out what's wrong with you? Every doctor you go to gives you another prescription of drugs, but they don't tell you what's wrong with you. I mean, take this, take that, take that. I mean, you have all these bottles of medicines out there. You think, Lord, I feel like a pharmacist there. Got all these pill bottles here, amen. Vitamins is one thing, amen. But when I've got to take drugs, you feel that way sometimes. It says, hey, she said, look, I spent everything, been all these physicians, neither could be what? Healed of any. Physicians of no healing value, Job called his friends, amen. Like, and so you can see why she is going to approach quickly, because she had spent all. Come over to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and notice what Mark chapter 5 says there in verse number 26. And had suffered many things with many physicians, and had spent how much? All that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew what? Worse. That beats it all. I spent all my money. I'm going to the doctor, and not only do I not get well, but I got worse. Oh, take this. I'm allergic to that. And I'm sick. Take this. Now that made my hair fall out. Well, take this. Well, now I lost my toenails. You know, and doctors think because it works on one patient, it's going to work on all. By the way, did you know that we're all different? Metabolically, we're all different. Some people can eat chocolate to their heart's desire and never gain a pound. Some folks just look at chocolate and gain 50 pounds. I mean, it's just what, you know, some people can take medicines and it'll affect them. How many of y'all get drowsy when you take ibuprofen? I don't. Some people take and they get drowsy. And it's not supposed to make you drowsy. Well, some people make them drowsy. How many of y'all take those pain medications and you get constipated? And they will do that. Did you know it doesn't do it to everybody? Certain people's body metabolically is different. Their constitution is different. And they can take them till times get tough. Hey, I can look at a prune and I've got to go to the bathroom. Others can drink prune juice till times get tough and won't have a bowel movement to save their soul. But I look at a prune, it's like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. I love apricots, but if I eat apricots, guess what? And I love apricots. How many of y'all get diarrhea when you eat apricots? So it's just me. And I love apricots, man. I'll eat those things, and man, before you know it, I got, oh, my daddy called the back door trots. There I go, amen. And so everybody's constitution is different. She's gone to all these doctors and nobody could heal her. She's worse. Notice what it says down there. Verse number 27. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. Amen. So she had suffered much. She had spent all she had. She was no better. She was worse. She heard that others had already touched his garment. So her thing is, I got predetermined. If it happened for them, it can happen for me. It can happen for me. And so go back to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter number 9. We're not going to get to the blind man today, but I was hoping we were, but we're not. Matthew chapter number 9, and pick it up with me in verse number 26. No, where were we at? 21. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I should be whole. But Jesus turned about him, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy what? Faith hath made thee whole. She had predetermined faith. She said, you know what? Even though I've got to approach quietly so that nobody can know my problem, even if I got to approach quietly so nobody knows what place I ought to be in, I'm going to approach quickly. I'm going to touch him because others touched him. They got healed. I believe I can be healed. I can just get to Jesus. Folks, that's the way it ought to be for you and I. We need to say, if I can just get to Jesus, he can handle this problem. And even if I don't get cured of the problem, he can give me the grace to go through it. Amen. Because I don't have to be healed of everything. Hey, Paul, when he was preaching, he said, hey, look, this one I left sick. This one I couldn't heal. This one is not well. I'm sick myself. I've got a thorn in the flesh. I can't heal myself. But he said, his grace is sufficient. So we don't have to always be healed. We just need sufficient grace. This lady had faith, and the ruler was interrupted. He had these expectations. But then we come back to this ruler, and we're going to wrap it up with him. The ruler's still waiting. Now think about it. Through all this, remember, Jesus was on his way to the ruler's house. And Jesus was following the ruler. And as the ruler was walking, Jesus stopped when the woman touched him. And so guess what the ruler had to do? Keep going home? The ruler had to stop too and said, look, woman, you take away my blessings. My daughter's at home dying. And you're talking about getting healed? Don't we get that way sometimes? We get selfish. We want our prayers answered. We're fully on Brother Duffy's prayers answered. Lord, I want mine. We're selfish. I don't know what was going through his mind, but he had to wait. And through the waiting, the interruptions and the expectations, Jesus heals this woman, but then he picks it back up. And notice in verse 23, when Jesus came into the ruler's house, saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth, and they laughed him to scorn. So they had to go through the mourners and the scorners here. The people are mourning in verse number 23, playing their music, which they typically always do. And then the scorners here, they laughed him to scorn, knowing she was dead. They laughed him to scorn. But when the people, verse 25, were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid did what? Arose. The maid arose. The ruler's faith was predetermined that Jesus could heal his daughter, even through the interruptions, even despite his expectations. It didn't happen when he thought it was going to happen. His faith was predetermined that Jesus Christ can do the impossible, and he did. This woman's faith was Jesus Christ can do the impossible, even if I got to go to him quietly. But I'll go to him quickly because I don't want anybody to know what's going on here. He did not disappoint. He took the maid by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame thereof went abroad into all that land. Next week, we'll pick it up with the blind man, but I want to leave you with a thought here. I want you to see if you can see what I see. Verse 27, when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him. Now, of course, in another parallel area, it's blind man Bartimaeus, but here, there's another man as well. Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Now, look at verse 28, and I want to see if you can see what I can see here. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. 28 has something interesting in it that I'm going to point out next week. See if you can point out and see what I see in there. Because when I read it, I thought, what? No. Verse 28, next week. There's something peculiar in that verse that I'm going to point out next week. Look at it and look at it and look at it and read it and read it and read it and see if you see what I see, because it took me very surprisingly, and I had to smile when I saw it. I thought, get out of here. So read that. Tell me, see if you can see what I see in that verse. I'll point it out next week. Amen. What I want you to go home with today, though, is the certain ruler had predetermined faith. He acts with expectations. Through interruptions, he waited. He waited. The woman said, I've got predetermined faith as well. I'm going to approach quietly because of my problem and because of the place I ought to be in, but I'm going to approach quickly. I've spent all my money. I've got nothing else. Folks, when we get a hold of the fact that Jesus Christ can do the unthinkable and the impossible, we'll go to him every time. And we ought to. We ought to go to him for every little thing. It shouldn't have took her 12 years, but maybe first chance she got to get to Jesus. Aren't you glad we don't have to wait like that? Bible says we can go boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We don't have to wait 12 years, amen? We don't have to have Jesus follow us like Jairus did and say, come to my house and heal my daughter. We can just go to the Lord Jesus Christ right away. And even if he doesn't heal, his grace is still sufficient. Sufficient grace. Praise God for that, amen? And I don't know what you're going through, but I do know this. We need to have predetermined faith that God's going to work it out. Somehow, some way, he is. This lady didn't know how it was going to all work out, but she said, if I can just touch him with his garment. This ruler didn't know how it was going to all happen. He said, but if you just come and touch her, she'll live. And she did. These two blind men in the same predicament, basically, with a predetermined faith. Jesus asked them, you believe I can do this? They said, yay. Yay, we believe. But there's something special about those blind men that we're going to pick out next week. Father, help us tonight as we leave here, Lord, to recognize that you are the God of heaven, the God of earth. Lord, you can do exceedingly, abundantly above everything that we ask or think. Lord, as we consider the ruler Jairus and his predetermined faith that you could raise his daughter, whether she was alive or dead. But he had to wait through interruptions. He had to wait despite his expectations. And this woman had predetermined faith. Knowing her plight, she came quite quickly. Lord, help us to have that same type of predetermined. That no matter what happens, Lord, you're wanting and willing to answer our prayers according to your will. And help us know what your will is. God, learn you quicker and better in our lives so we can get our prayers answered. So Lord, guide, direct, lead in our prayers tonight. And Lord, give us a blessed remainder of the week. Have a hand upon Dr. Nelson as well. And Lord, work in his life and his heart. And Lord, if it be your will to raise him up enough to be here with us on Sunday. And Lord, make it happen. If not, Lord, we'll rejoice one with another and praise you for what you've done through Bethel and what you've done through Shining Light. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need now. Help us to leave here differently than we came in, Lord. Renewed in our spirit, renewed in our predetermined faith, knowing that God, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. We're going to do things a little differently tonight. Ladies are going to go into the auditorium and pray with Mrs. Dawson. Men, we can stay here and out there. That way we can start getting this area together while the ladies are undisturbed in the auditorium. So ladies, you're with Mrs. Dawson in the auditorium. We're here, Pastor White. Anything we need to know beforehand?